Well, good morning. I don't know if you can remember, but last time we had people involved, and I think we had Damien that side, and we had
Ryan.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was Ryan on this side. And we decided what characteristics should be in the lives of those who follow Jesus. And this morning I'm going to continue that theme, because in between all the sort of characteristics that should not be there, and between the characteristics that should be there, there is a verse like sandwiched in between. And that verse sandwiched in between is verse 11, which says, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." You see, last time we were thinking of really sort of like a one-to-one. You know, people we meet daily or people we've met in the past that we wouldn't have any sort of, we wouldn't lie about them, we wouldn't slander, we wouldn't be malicious behaviour. And although that is true, I think Paul was getting to something a lot deeper than that. Paul was getting to something much more difficult for people to grasp, I think. Because if I had a title this morning, and I had quite a long one, it was "Love Not Hate," or "Malicious Behaviour," or "We Cannot Sing Together." How about that for a title? Because this is what Paul is getting at. Paul is looking at hundreds of years of difficulty between groups of people. People who were malicious towards each other. People that slandered each other. People that hated each other. And sometimes they couldn't even remember the reasons why. They just had this in them that if they were a certain gender, if they were a certain race, if they were uneducated, if they, whatever they were, groups hated other groups. Malicious between groups. And you would think it wouldn't be in the church, wouldn't you? You would think Christians wouldn't be malicious towards other believers. You would think believers wouldn't gossip and slander other believers. You would think this, wouldn't you? And that's why Paul says that we are in Christ. And what he was getting at, you Jews hating Gentiles, pack it in. You Gentiles hating the Jews, pack it in, because we're in Christ. And when you look at church history, you think they hadn't listened. They hadn't observed what Paul was saying. He says something very similar in Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, people try to say it means something different. They try to say it means that the Jews stop being Jews. Males stop being males and females. We're all one. So all the distinctions are done away with. That's not what Paul is saying. When you become a believer, if you're a lady, you stay a lady. If you're a man, you stay a man. If you're a Gentile, you stay a Gentile. If you're a Jew, you stay a Gentile. What he is saying is this, that when we come to Christ, when we are born again, when we have all those things we've been looking at made alive, forgiven, the love of God flowing through us, he says you must stop lying, be slanderous, malice, and hating these other groups that you've probably hated all your life and may not be aware of. Did you know that there were some Christians, I don't think they exist now, but there were some Christians who believed that ladies could not be saved? Because they had a kind of inbuilt maliciousness towards ladies in the church. You see, the gospel is for all. Whatever your race, whatever your gender, whatever your position in society, educated or not, outcast or royal, the gospel is for all and for everyone. What Paul is saying, I think, in today's language, is that believers don't have discrimination. Believers don't judge people. And when you think what Paul is saying here, he's saying, you know those Romans who've killed a lot of your people? If they become a believer, love them, forgive them, because they're one in Christ with you. Gentile, you know those Jews? Well, they're not being very nice towards you. Well, if they become a believer in Jesus, love them, forgive them, be compassionate towards them, all this. You see, what I think he's getting at is more than just an individual to individual. He is getting at the heart. He's getting at the root. And he's saying that if we are true followers of Jesus, if we are true disciples of his, we will love all people, be kind, compassionate and forgiveness to all people. And even though if traditionally we didn't get on, we must get on. I have been in so many different churches. I've heard charismatics. And I'll tell you something, I have heard some malicious, slanderous, lying words. I've been in some churches where they talk about charismatics and they slander and lie. Paul says you're one in Christ. Now you can speak the truth, and if they were trying to point out error, you can do it. But sometimes you just get that kind of indication that there is something that they detest or they don't like just because they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And then they believe, and then everybody is painted with the same brush. And this is what Paul, I think, is trying to get out. He says, did you notice, he says, he calls us God's chosen people. He's saying, you know, God has called these people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once they were not a people of God, now they are. Why? Why would people be malicious towards other Christians? Why would Christians lie and slander other Christians? Why? And that's what Paul is getting at. Because this is the side we should have towards them. Love them. Compassionate, patient, gentleness. Love them. And that is what Paul is getting at, I think, in these verses before us this morning. Well, he mentions Jew and Gentile. We could have said Catholic and Protestant. Look at they. Love each other, or they should. Well, let's bring it down. Brexit, leave and remain. There was believers getting malicious, making all kinds of assumptions about whatever side you were on. And I want to say this morning, some believers were saying some awful things about other believers just because of a decision they made. Calvinist or Arminian. And then there's countries, Pakistan and India. Russia, well, you can take your pick who they've fallen out with. Did you know there's a minister of a church and he put this on his Facebook page? And because of other things he posts, but he put this on, he says that his conviction is this, that you cannot be a Tory and be a believer. You cannot be a Tory and follow Jesus. He has actually maliciousness towards those who vote Tory. Do you see what Paul is getting at? Do you see what he's saying? As believers, we can so easily be malicious and even hatred towards other believers, and we think we're standing up for Christ. We think we're doing it in his name. It does work the other way. In America, they say if you vote Labour, you can't be a follower of Christ, if you're a socialist. And they get malicious and hatred towards believers who are. Do you see what Paul is saying in these verses? Do you see what he's saying? You know, we've got the English and the French, Argentina and UK, Greece and Turkey. But the cross, on the cross, he came to break all these divisions down. He came to break the wall of division. He came so that we could worship together. He came so that we could sing together. He came so that we could be one people. No matter whether you're educated or not, no matter what your gender is, no matter what the color of your skin is. You know, on Tuesday we were told a story of this very solid evangelical church. And they preached the word and everyone thought it was a wonderful, wonderful congregation. Fantastic. Worshipping God, loving God. Word was sound. And then two black men went to go to that church. And the people on the door said, "This church isn't for you. Go to the church down the road." Hadn't they read what Paul said? We are one in Christ. Hadn't he read what he said? That we are one in Christ? This is what Paul goes on to say. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, forgive, just as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. Pull up with each other. Get along with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Do you see what Paul is really getting at this morning? Do you really see what he's saying? And I might have got this wrong, but am I right? If I've got this wrong, I apologise. But Pastor Kirk, were you from one tribe and Esther from another tribe?
Yes.
Did those tribes get on normally?
Yeah.
They do get on.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. But you see, we have problems of this group and that group, and believers not getting on with believers. Why? Because of something that was said hundreds of years ago, something done hundreds of years ago, and there's no forgiveness, there's no compassion, and there's no love. Do you see what he's actually saying? He's actually saying, you know, the Crusades, which were against the Jewish people, you know, all these things have happened, and he's saying, love, love, the Jew to love the Nazis. That's a big thing, isn't it? The Arab to love the Jew to love the Arab. Why? Because we are one in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians, remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ. You who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who made both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, that he would reconcile them both in the one body to God through the cross. And he came and preached peace to those who are far off and peace to those who were near. Oh, isn't, we need to get a grasp this morning that if we believe in Jesus, if we say that we are born again, his Holy Spirit lives in us, we walk with him, and his love flows through us. Then we shouldn't have any of that towards any other believer just because they belong to a different group than us. Just because they're of a different race than us. Just because they live in a different part of the city to us. Just because, doesn't matter. We are one in Christ. And this is what Paul is getting at. I'm going to read you something now. It might shock you. Then you might know who said this. What shall we Christians do with this rejected and condemned people, the Jews? I shall give you my sincere advice. Set fire to their synagogues in honour of our Lord and of Christendom, so that God might see that we are Christians. I advise that their houses be razed and destroyed. Advise that their prayer books and writings be taken away from them. I advise that their rabbis be forbidden to teach, on pain of loss of life and limb. We will believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is truthful when he declares of the Jews who did not accept but crucified him, you are abroad of vipers and children of the devil. I have read and heard many stories about the Jews which agree with this judgment of Christ. They have poisoned wells, made assassinations, kidnapped children. Do you know who said those words? It might shock you, might surprise you. That's Luther, the guy of the Reformation. The guy who, if you like, the founder of the Lutheran Church. Malice, slander, lies. And he did it in Christ's name. He did it in Jesus' name. But he's not the only one. Why? Why? When we're meant to be meek and patient and forgiving and gentle and compassionate and kindness and love. And you're not meant to just have that towards your own little group. You know, denominations, they might do that for their denomination. And other denominations, they do that. Why? When we're one in Christ. And sometimes denominations, some of them, they do start from a good basis for doctrinal reasons. But I've read letters between different denominations from their leaders. And it must break God's heart because they betray more of that side than they do of that side. Paul says in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Why? Because Christians were not doing this, they were doing that. And he said, those should not be named amongst you. And I've looked at church history. And most of it is that and not that. Now, there are wonderful occasions of that. Jesus said, this is how you will know these are my disciples. This is how you're going to know. This is the test. That they love one another. That they do this. And by loving one another, it doesn't mean just loving people like-minded. It doesn't mean just loving those who agree with you. Is loving all who are in Christ, who have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. They know their sins are forgiven. Our command is to love, forgive, live at peace. And at the same time, you uphold the truth in such a way that you don't hate. You don't become angry or have malicious behaviour towards your brothers and sisters in Jesus. It doesn't mean that you compromise. It doesn't mean that truth isn't important. It is. It means that you are truthful. You preach the word. But you don't have hatred and slander and malicious. And it's time the church loved each other. You see, when Paul was writing this, look at the conflict between Jew, Gentile and Roman. There was a lot of it going on. And he was just saying, stop it. Be compassionate, kind, love one another. And then he goes on to say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. They're powerful words, aren't they? Because I'm going to suggest something this morning. That if we want the true peace of God in our lives, if we really want the love of God in our lives, we have to be careful that none of that is in our lives. And if it is, we confess it and repent. How can we be at peace? Peace, the absence of conflict. Peace. If because someone belongs to a different tribe, a different gang, a different organisation, that we think it's okay to be malicious towards them. It isn't. It isn't. Because we're one in Christ. The word shalom, you know, is often translated at peace. But it means to be, it actually has to mean to be whole. And it means that all, if you like, everyone together playing their part, everyone together loving and being compassionate and kind, that's when you have true peace. That's when we have it. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. We like singing, don't we? We like singing together, don't we? We like it. And I think other churches like it. Christians like to sing. They like to worship. But what is he saying? I think Paul is saying this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. It doesn't mean just his words in the Gospels. It means from Genesis to Revelation, it's all the word of Christ. And as we sing our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and they'll teach us about him, Paul is saying this. If you've got any of that in your heart towards other believers, you ain't worshipping. If you've got any of that in your heart towards any other believers, you ain't doing anything that God will accept. If you've got any of that in your heart, and you think it's okay to lift your hands and dance and worship and think God is pleased, he isn't. He says love, compassionate, forgive. You know what Jesus said? If you come to be together to worship and you remember you've got something against someone or they've got something against you, you go and get it sorted out. Why? So that you can come with none of that in your heart. It's a heart issue. And Paul was saying, so many of you see these, you don't see Christ in them. You don't see them as followers of Christ. First and foremost, you will see, you see they belong to that group or they belong to that group. And you think, well, we don't get on with them. Oh, we can't stand them. We don't like them. And he says, see Christ in them. If they're truly followers of Christ, if they've been washed and cleansed by the blood, doesn't matter what the colour of the skin is, doesn't matter about their education, it doesn't matter where they live, it doesn't matter if they're slave or free, to use his words. Paul says, by the power of the Spirit of God, love them, be compassionate towards them. And so many people are brought up with tradition, and they're brought up that you hate and are malicious and you lie and you slander towards group, and they don't even know why. And they'll tell you that's the truth of Ireland. The young people, when they ask, why do you not get on with the Catholics? Why do you not get on with the Protestants? They said, well, because my parents didn't. They don't know why. But fortunately, that's changing. But you know, Christ died to break all these divisions down so we can all be one in Christ, so we can all sing together, admonish one. Isn't that wonderful that we can do this? And then he says in verse 17 of chapter 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do all in his name. You represent him. You're his ambassador. You're his spokesperson. And we have to be careful that when we speak about other believers, it doesn't come across as being malicious, slanderous, and definitely not lies. We should come across as being gentle and compassionate and loving. Because too many people, whatever side of a dividing line they were on, they were doing it in his name. But his name should never be connected with maliciousness, lies. His name is only connected with love and compassion and kindness. right at the start of chapter 3, it said, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. That's how he started the chapter. Followers of Jesus, believers in Jesus, who have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, and they set their minds to do this, not that. And unfortunately, the Christian church is too often filled with that. Any follower of Jesus who has malice or hatred towards any group or slanders them, lies about them, refuses to forgive them, my conviction is, I have to be careful. I wonder if the love of God is within them. I do wonder, because John says if we say that we have fellowship with God and not with one another, we lie. We lie, that's what he says. And I look at what's happening in the church. And if someone has malicious or hatred towards anyone, I'll tell you this, they can't have true peace, can they? And their singing will be nothing but words. So don't let race, don't let gender, don't let status cause you to hate or be angry, to be unforgiving and have malicious behaviour. Instead, seek the things above, set your mind above, be compassionate, be kind, be humble, be gentle, be patient, pull up with each other, forgive, and above all, then we can truly sing together with thankfulness in our hearts. Because that's what I believe God wants. And I believe that's what Paul meant when he said there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. Because we're all in Christ. We're all one in Jesus. We stay female and male, the roles, responsibilities stay the same. But we're to love and be compassionate. And so often the church hasn't. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning. And if we have any, even a tiny, even a minute bit of any kind of maliciousness or hatred toward any group of your people, maybe through misunderstanding, maybe because we think they believe this and do this and we say things which might not be true, Father, forgive us. Because they're in you, Lord. Help us, Father, to be a people that walk and live in love, compassion, forgiveness, peace, thankfulness. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.